Hey, y'all, Scott here for MyHeroesThink.com. They sell beautiful 7-inch busts of libertarian heroes, Ludwig von Mises, Murray Rothbard, Ron Paul, and Harry Brown. These finely crafted statues from MyHeroesThink.com make excellent decorations for your desktop at work, bookends for your shelves, or gifts for that special individualist in your life. They're also all available in colors now, too. Of course, gold, silver, or bronze. Coming soon, Hayek, Hazlitt, Carlin. Use promo code Scott Horton and save $5 at MyHeroesThink.com. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, Scott Horton Show, here on the Liberty Radio Network. Our next guest today is Rory Fanning. He's got a new one at TomDispatch.com. We'll be running it tomorrow on Antiwar.com. It's Rory Fanning, Unpacking the War on Terror. Also titled, you know how they do it at Tom Dispatch, got a Nick Terse intro here. It's Letter to a Young Army Ranger from an Old One. Welcome to the show, Rory. How are you doing?
Terrific. Thanks for having me on the show.
Very happy to have you on. Very good article. You know, I got a call about, I guess, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago from someone, a friend of a friend, who their nephew was going to join up the Marine Corps. And they said, what do I do? It was someone who knew better but couldn't figure out how to make their nephew know better. And the best idea I had was give them the number to the Bill of Rights hotline and hope somebody there could recommend some good reading material. I know there's a good Chris Hedges book, What Everyone Should Know About War, that's, you know, very specific stuff about what it's like to be in battle and what it's like to be shot and what it's like to be in the Army and that these kinds of things. But I wasn't really sure what to tell them. I think if somebody asked me tomorrow, I'll probably have them read your article. But I wonder what your advice would be to that question, first of all, here.
Yeah, well, I've been wanting to write something like this for a long time. I mean, we have 10,000 recruiters stalking the hallways of our high schools, and they have a $700 million advertising budget to work with. And there really isn't a lot of pushback, you know. I think it's only fair to have kids hear both sides, you know, particularly from someone who's actually been overseas and sees that we are actually not fighting for freedom or democracy around the world. You know, if you're a high school age student, a lot of times you don't have a ton of options, and the military seems like the only option, but it's not the case. And you know, I don't think the rest of the world, you know, should have to pay for, you know, our search for meaning, our search for something to do with our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we've long since passed the time that we've been fighting for freedom and democracy around the world. And I don't know, it's an involved discussion, and it's a nuanced discussion. And you know, I just like to have, we should have more of those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how even after the opinions of the wars have shifted pretty much, the job itself is always still sanctified in the minds of most people, because as you talk about in here, you know, as you talk about, I think, when you're describing your own feelings when you were joining up, that, hey, you, as far as you know, there's consensus for this. It's the right thing to do. You're defending the country from its enemies, and it's a rite of passage, and this kind of thing. You see the commercials for it in every football game your entire life, so it's so very normal and part of life, and you know, very much an option for anyone turning 17 to start thinking about, really. And it all just kind of goes without saying, even still, and there doesn't seem to be too much challenge against it. You know, actual shtick. Now, when it was the 90s and I was turning 17, 18, it was so-called peacetime. So it was a little bit easier sales pitch too. That, look, you'll go in, you'll do a few years, we'll make a real man out of you, and then you'll be able to get good work done and aim high and all that the rest of your life. But there's not too much risk that we're really going to make you kill somebody or that you're really going to get killed. It's just, you know, money for college. And push-ups and you know, marksmanship,
right.
And because shooting rifles is fun, and so who doesn't want to do that? And so it's a little bit more complicated now. But as you say, they really narrow the discussion to a very narrow thing, right? To push-ups and marksmanship, and the guy on your left and your right. You say,
Yeah, well, we're entering the 14th year of the global war on terror. I mean, we've been spending, on average, $700 billion every single year to fight this war. You know, that money is not going towards sustainable energy. It's not going to education. It's not going to any kind of healthcare. And, you know, and plus we're killing hundreds of thousands of people, and we're certainly proven, you know, as we see the rise of ISIS, Taliban is as strong as it's ever been. There's nothing to show for any of this stuff. We're not going in there rebuilding any countries. I mean, right now, the Afghanistan is holding on by the skin of its teeth. We're funding its entire army. The second the U.S. pulls out its funding, that state is going to collapse. So what do we have to show for this? And why isn't there a critical discussion about the ineffectiveness of the U.S. military and the fact that we're actually creating the thing that we were being told we were sent to destroy? And that's more terrorism.
Yeah, and you know, you point out in the article, and this just blows me away to think about this, that when you were signing up and you were becoming an Army Ranger, being deployed to Afghanistan, the kids who are being deployed to Afghanistan as Rangers today were in kindergarten. They were going into kindergarten at the time that you were going into Afghanistan in 2002, and that's just mind-blowing. But what that means is, because it's gone on so long, that means that in their mind, this is kind of the ultimate of consensus, right? This is a consensus ongoing for a decade and a half, that clearly this is the right thing to do. This is what we're doing. This is our mission, is to make Afghanistan better or something like that, right?
Right. I mean, they know nothing else. I mean, if you've been raised in the global war on terror, I mean, since, you know, when you're 17, that's all you've ever seen, you know, and, you know, we're being sent around the world to control other countries' natural resources, bottom line, and can ensure that the West controls those countries' resources. And making other countries poor, only a handful of people are benefiting from these wars, the richest of the rich. And yeah, we just got the anti-war movement, unfortunately, is at a low point. And everybody thinks that the war on terror is coming, being wrapped up. And we still have 10,000 troops over in Afghanistan. We just sent another 3,000 back into Iraq. You know, the special forces have basically conducted military operations in 2/3 of the world's countries since 9/11, and 49 of the 54 African countries. I mean, national sovereignty exists for no other country but the United States at this point. And, you know, you gotta start talking about that.
Yeah, now tell me, Rory, real quick here, if you could, what was the turning point for you? You make it really clear in this article. Again, it's at tomdispatch.com, letter to a young Army Ranger from an old one. You really were hook, line, and sinker into this thing. No insult intended here. That's as you write it. But so what was it that made you, during your time, it was during your time in Afghanistan, you decided this is not for me. What was it?
Well, it was the level of poverty I saw for once. I mean, I felt like a bully. Here I was in the most powerful military on the planet, rolling into one of the most poorest countries on Earth. You know, it was pretty clear we were acting on horrible intelligence. We were little more than pawns in village disputes most of the time, and we were actually trying to draw the enemy back into the fight. The Taliban largely surrendered after the initial assault in 2001. And, unfortunately, our politics, that wasn't good enough for our chain of command. They wanted to give the American public more blood. And so we probably drew them back into the fight. And so it was pretty clear to me that I wasn't doing anything for the world. I was only making it more dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great that you're doing this kind of writing, and that, as it says here, you do all this great work going around and doing counter recruitment and trying to get through to people here. I remember being young, and it can be very difficult for people to accept that, well, wait a minute, I mean, you're really telling me the consensus of my parents, my coaches, my teachers, my church elders, that they're wrong, and that actually this, you know, code pink view of the world is the one that's actually more accurate about what's going on in these wars. And that can be strange and unsettling to people to think that, oh yeah, no, really, it's really not true what they've been telling you. So, of course, it makes it much more powerful when it's somebody who walks in and says, hey, I was a ranger and I was over there. And so I'm not kidding here. You know, you need to listen up. I think it's very important, the work that you're doing. So thank you for it, you know.
My pleasure. People are interested in having me come talk to their high school, they can email me at walkforpat@gmail.com.
Walkforpat. Oh, yeah, because, well, we're already into the break, so tell that story real quick. You walked across the country. What's that about?
Pat Tillman and I served in the same unit, and he
I didn't realize that. Or if I knew that, it was a long time ago. I'm sorry.
Well, we can talk about it next time.
Sure.
I walked across from Virginia Beach to San Diego to raise $3.6 million that Pat gave up. So, years ago. So anyway, call me next time. We can talk more.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rory. I really appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, y'all. That's Rory Fanning. And the book is Worth Fighting For, An Army Ranger's Journey Out of the Military and Across America. Came out last year. And here he is at tomdispatch.com. And the article is Unpacking the War on Terror, Letter to a Young Army Ranger from an Old One. And already I see in the chat room a relative is getting this article. So this kind of thing is very important. Anybody else out there have something to say along these lines? Do that. We'll be right back. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the monthly journal of the Future Freedom Foundation at fff.org/subscribe. Since 1989, FFF has been pushing an uncompromising moral and economic case for peace, individual liberty, and free markets. Sign up now for The Future Freedom, featuring founder and president Jacob Hornberger, as well as Sheldon Richmond, James Bovard, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and many more. It's just $25 a year for the print edition, $15 per year to read it online. That's fff.org/subscribe. And tell them Scott sent you. Oh, John Kerry's Mideast peace talks have gone nowhere. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. U.S. military and financial support for Israel's permanent occupations of the West Bank and Gaza Strip is immoral, and it threatens national security by helping generate terrorist attacks against our country. And face it, it's bad for Israel, too. Without our unlimited support, they would have much more incentive to reach a lasting peace with their neighbors. It's past time for us to make our government stop making matters worse. Help support CNI at councilforthenationalinterest.org.